Hello, this is Fred Goldstein at HIMSS 18, and I'm at the Node Health Innovation Roundtable with the Jonathan Bush, CEO of Athena Health. How are you doing today?
Great, Fred. Good to see you here.
Well, it's fantastic to see you here. You just finished up a presentation in the group. Give the audience a little understanding of what you talked about. Very interesting.
Well, these are guys who are trying to create an ecosystem for digital health apps. You get thousands and thousands of these things and thousands more ideas, but it's really hard to get them connected into the core phenotypical data of the chart. You connect them to the mothership and still have it be innovative. So there's this Silas and Charybdis. How do you get the freedom to build all kinds of crazy stuff, but actually have it contain relevant medical information? This is a huge aspiration of Athena Health. We got all our customers on one cloud-based instance. There are open APIs. So basically, my passive-aggressive mission is to get them to build their apps on our
connect
stack.
Connect up with the stack, absolutely.
But I tried to make up some mumbo-jumbo, so they'd let me speak.
Well, that's fantastic, and I'm so glad we've now announced that publicly so everyone can know exactly the purpose of this presentation.
Yes,
that's
build
great.
Apps on our stack.
That's it. So we'll send you this video when we're done,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll rebroadcast. So, all my Facebook friends.
That's it. So let me ask you something else. What should providers be doing? You talked about this fact that they've got to change their ways, yeah. You know. And what should they be doing with these tech companies and apps to really end up being successful or get kicked out?
Well, I do think, and one of the things I did have in my remarks is, you need to have a practical, tactical, near-term objective that is financially solvent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the idea of an ACO where all, you know, it's the old Soviet Union, you know, we'll pretend to work if you pretend to pay us, you know, I'll pretend to generate savings if you, you know, say that I'm an ACO and give me quality scores. You know, I think there are things you can do in the fee-for-service environment that are really good for health, that accomplish, you know, efficiencies, but that keep you full, that keep your dance card full. And they really relate to the forward-leaning, sort of patient-facing aspects of medicine. Medicine doesn't have marketing and it doesn't have product management. It has advertising and it's bad, right? And the reason it's bad is because they can't product manage. They can't mix procedure codes and diagnosis codes and diagnostics and guarantees and financing and put it into one bundle that a consumer can understand. But they should, and they could. And digital health apps create a setting for that. They're a steel thread that pulls data, gives these guys a mandate to pull all the crappy data and all the crappy silos of these big health systems that are on various enterprise software products into one pool, into one data lake that can then be used to think differently.
So I was at a session a couple days ago, and they were talking about innovation, a great panel up there. And I said, raised my hand at the end, I said, guys, at what point do you guys actually reduce costs?
Well, one of the things we talked about in there is healthcare has accomplished several economic miracles. The two that I find most interesting over the last decade is systematic year-over-year negative returns to technology investment.
Yep.
It is the only industry where labor-saving technology actually creates more labor every year. That's just amazing. And the other is negative economies of scale. Is the only industry where mergers and acquisitions actually create less productivity at the frontline level. So if you look at a doctor that is part of an independent medical group and then you watch their track their behavior post-integration into a large health system, it drops between 20 and 26% depending on the specialty. Those are weird things. And I think the digital health apps and other sort of technology forward-facing, technology-based emissaries can help reverse.
Great. So you think the use of these digital health apps will ultimately improve those numbers? Or is it just going to create, well, I was 26% less efficient, now I'm going to be 43% less efficient?
Good question, yeah. It's genuinely possible. These are typically either at the low, so in medicine there is no demand curve, so the cheaper guy doesn't get more market share than the more expensive guy, and vice versa. So invariably, everybody's get cottons on. It's like, all right, let me just see if I can raise price a little bit. You know, I just don't want to stand out, but I want to raise price as much as everyone else does every year, even though I don't change my product, I don't change my guarantees, there are no guarantees. And what I think about digital apps is that there is now a pretty thin but a layer of patient-controllable fat. There are deductibles, and there are co-pays, and there are reference pricing increasingly. And these apps fit inside of that first $1,000. So you can use these apps for the low acuity things that you might have otherwise have to drop your credit card for, you know, $300 or $200 or whatever. So I think that, unlike other technologies which did not stand the test, didn't need to stand the test of market use and value generation, some of these will. Mm-hmm. And you know, if they drag new share into the systems that they serve, they'll live. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, they'll sort of die off.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Treat.
As always, great stuff.
Appreciate it.